want to share some things with us in the midst of the presence of our King. I want to share some things from His Holy Word. Because His Holy Word always honors the King. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 29. And I feel like this is something that we have been fulfilling here this morning, and will continue to fulfill even as we leave this place. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering, come before Him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, or acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated again this morning. I want to share this thought, the title, The Honorable Choice. The Honorable Choice. That word honorable means an upright choice or a righteous choice or the right choice. Noble. Giving worth to. An honorable choice for the child of God is worship to the Lord. Is honor to the Lord. When I, as a child of God, make honorable choices in this life, I, in turn, am honoring my God. I am praising my God. I am worshiping my God. And I want to share a little story here with you from the Word of God of a king named Saul and his successor that we know as King David. But at this point in time, Saul was still king. God had rejected him. And because God had rejected him from being king and he had chose David to become king, Saul set out to destroy David. And in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 6, we find David in a cave, hiding in this cave. Saul has been seeking him out, and Saul enters that cave to take a nap. Find some rest. He did not know David was there, but David knew he was there. 1 Samuel 24, 1, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. I think Saul was serious about destroying David. How about you? He took 3,000 men to destroy David and 30 men. I think he was a little afraid of David, too. How about you? And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David was confronted with a choice. Saul had been seeking to destroy him, making life miserable for him, would not listen to him, doing everything against him. And now David was in the sides of the cave, and Saul lay on the ground in the middle of the cave asleep. So asleep that David could creep over there, sneak over there, cut off part of his garment. And as David did that, the Spirit of God smote his heart. And he realized, this is not the way it needs to be done. I want you to notice, his men were encouraging him, God has brought him here for you to kill. Got a lot of folks out there in this old church world today that is trying to tell you what God told you. But David knew better. David knew he was still the king. He was still the anointed of the Lord. It was not time for David to take his position just yet. Yet his men saw it as, all right, God's provided this. Kill him now. But David made an honorable choice. He realized he had every right to defend himself. He had every right to take Saul's life. But it didn't mean it was the right thing to do. And he made an honorable choice to serve God, honor God, and hopefully change Saul's life. Let me read the next portion of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass, when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept, and he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. As Saul left that cave, he did not even notice that part of his garment was cut off. He left that cave, moved back down that mountain, and then David stepped out of that cave where he just came from. And David began to plead his cause. And he said, you have been seeking me to destroy me, but I have basically, and I'm just kind of bringing you the nutshell, but I could have killed you today, but I spared your life. And that's when Saul realized the error of his ways. Because of David's honorable choice, Saul then realized the error of his ways. The pride, the envy, the jealousy. And he wept. And then he made statement, as you read the story, he said, David, I know God has chose you to be king in my place. There's only one thing I ask of you. When you come into power, see, he wasn't any longer going to try to destroy him. He had accepted God's will finally. He knew that David would become king and God would establish him strong. And he accepted that. He said, but do one thing for me when you become king. Don't cut off my name. Don't slay all my children, is what he was saying. Be merciful unto me again. Wow. You and I deserve to die. You and I deserve judgment. You and I do not deserve mercy. Neither did Saul. But David made an honorable choice. Jesus Christ made an honorable choice when he died for my sins, when he died for your sins. He did that in hopes and with great desire that you and I would change our ways, that you and I would realize the wrong direction we have been going. that you and I would realize the pride that we live in, and that we would humble our hearts and begin to follow this man named Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, David could have chosen to do evil that day. Everybody would have said, "You deserve to do that, David." But David knew in his heart he didn't. And he made that honorable choice. And in making that choice, he chose to worship, to glorify, and to please God. And because he chose the right thing, it turned the whole situation around. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. And so, I've got some things I want to share with you. Just a few scriptures here. You notice I didn't tell you how long I was going to hold you this morning. I made that mistake last time. Psalms 101:3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Once again, words of David. Amen. I have a choice of what I set before my eyes. I have a choice. And I want to encourage you, make an honorable choice. Make a choice that will please God. Make a choice that will honor God. Make a choice that will worship God. Make a choice that will glorify God. Make an honorable choice when temptation comes to your eyes. Remember, the Bible tells us that we're tempted in 3 points. Only three. Just three. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That are the three areas of temptation for our lives. Whoever you are, no, it don't make any difference. For mankind, those are the three areas we're going to fall away from God in, or we're going to reject God in. And so, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The lust of the eyes, that want, that covetousness. Oh, the honorable choice. Turn away. Turn away. It's the honorable choice. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The honorable choice of what I listen to. Yeah. The honorable choice of what I listen to. Now, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." When Jesus Christ saved my soul, country music went out the window. There wasn't anything in country music that was going to strengthen me spiritually. Not one iota. You know, Bob stealing, you know, Jim's wife and going down to the bar and corral. You know, I just got saved. Hallelujah. I didn't want to. God just took it all out. You see, I've got an honorable choice of what I listen to. You got to realize, church, young people, whatever you listen to, it affects you more than what you think it does. Because when you listen to something, sometimes you don't pay attention to it. You're just tapping your toe. Or moving more of your body. I don't know. Depends on what you listen to. You don't realize the message of the song that is being pumped into your brain in the subconscious. You know, that area that you don't even realize is there. How many's ever said something you said, "Where'd that come from?" It came out of your subconscious because of something you listened to somewhere, or somebody else said it somewhere, and all of a sudden, it come out. Where did that? My mind goes to my son, Jason, when he was just a young man, teenager, probably about Titus's age, riding them four-wheelers, and it had snowed, and it had snowed a bunch. And man, he was out there riding that four-wheeler. I mean, just doing didos, and he went down to the ditch. towards a culvert. He was stuck. And so he's having to get a shovel. He hadn't come to me. He hadn't told me a thing about it. He just went and got a shovel. So I step out of the house and I'm walking that direction. And all of a sudden I hear foul language coming out of his mouth. And I know he didn't get that from me. Because when I got saved, that was another thing that left immediately. I'm just standing there watching him fume, and then finally, you know, he looks up, and there I stand. And that bewildered look on his face, I said, "What'd you just say? Where did that come from?" "I don't know. Maybe he heard his cousin say it. Maybe he heard his grandma say it. Maybe you heard an aunt say it. I don't think he heard Sister Pepper say it. I know he didn't hear me say it. And I know it wasn't any of the faith-building cartoons that we allowed him to watch, what few we did. Where did he get that?" "Yeah, it's just out there and somebody said it and it was in his subconscious. And then I doubt if he's ever said it again, but I didn't wear him out. I just kind of scratched my head as he was in enough pain the way it was. I mean, the minute he said it, you could sense the Spirit of God. It's kind of like David, his heart smote him. He realized, and really the look on his face, honorable choice. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If somebody is trying to tell you you don't have to live holy, you need to silence them. You need to get away from them and don't communicate with them any longer. Because evil communications will corrupt your honorable choices." It's just God's word. That's all I'm sharing with you here this morning. That was 1 Corinthians 15:33. Proverbs 16:17. It says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul." I like the way it puts that, the highway. In other words, the road that the righteous travel is away from evil, not towards it. Honorable choice. If it's going to lead me astray, then lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Woo. The highway of the righteous is away from evil. Not towards it. Not towards it. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. You're going to make heaven if you make it an honorable choice to leave evil behind and depart from it in your life. But if you find yourself following after evil, you're not going to preserve your soul and you're not going to make it to heaven. Because the only way to heaven is the highway of the righteous. The highway of the King. The highway of holiness. That is the way, hallelujah, of my King, my Lord, my God. Hallelujah. And so you see then, I've got to make an honorable choice. A choice that will please God, worship God, glorify God, honor God. Hallelujah. This is just bare bones where we live. Word of God. Romans 6:12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Now, whether you've realized it or not, we have just covered the Word of God and what it says about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Honorable choices. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. I don't guess you can get any plainer than that. The honorable choice is not sin. If you know it's wrong, the honorable choice, don't do it. And then I get this excuse. Oh, but it's so hard. Really? How hard is it to make your choice? How hard is it to go to heaven? The Bible says, just ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. So I'm finding that every avenue of the attack of the enemy, heaven's got the power to help me overcome if I just will make the honorable choice. Amen. How many remember the story of Joseph? Now, there was a young man that was terribly, totally mistreated, abused as a child. He was verbally abused. He was physically abused. They were about to kill this young man, except for one brother said, no, let's just put him here in a pit for a little while till he'll cool off. And then while that brother was gone, they jerked him up out of the pit and sold him into slavery. How'd you like to have brothers like that? Yeah. But all through his abuse, he made honorable choices. He got sold into slavery. He was purchased by a wealthy man. He was under the attack of a seductive wife. Even tried to trap him in the bedroom. And she grabbed a hold of him. And he just left his coat and ran. The honorable choice. She didn't think it was too honorable. So then she lied on him. Got put in prison. Well, he became keeper of the prison. He made honorable choices. And then there was the butler and the baker. And he interpreted their dreams and said, "Don't forget me." What they do, they forgot him. And here he's in prison, serving God to the best of his ability in the midst of his circumstances of prison. Wow. That'd be enough to be discouraged, wouldn't it? That'd be enough to just really rant and rave and thump somebody's head just because. But he made honorable choices. And then God brought him out. And he became second ruler to Pharaoh. Ended up preserving his family and all of Israel. In the midst of all that abuse, he kept making honorable choices. Sometimes, and hear me close, people use childhood abuse as an excuse for their lack of righteousness today. That's not an excuse. The past is gone, washed away, never more to be remembered. Forget it and go on. That's what God says I've done. Then he expects you and I to do the same thing. Hallelujah. Because the past is not where I'm living. It's the present. That's where I'm living. And in the present, I want to make honorable choices. I want to be wise to the past, so I don't repeat it. Hallelujah. And I want to make honorable choices now, so that anybody following after my life can do the same thing. Praise God. You see, honorable choices. The highway of the upright is depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Romans 6:12. Now, this is the one I just read. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And I want to close with this. Psalms 26:8, and I just used this in preaching just last time I got to preach anyway. Praise the Lord. Psalms 26:8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. If I want to make honorable choices, I'm going to have to learn to be where God's honor dwelleth. I'm going to have to learn to be in the house of God. I'm going to have to learn to be where the presence of God can renew me, refresh me, revive me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because church, you got to understand, you can kneel down and pray at your couch, and the Spirit of God will be there to hear your prayer, to help you pray. But there's a big difference from being in the house of God, where the presence of God is, and it is a sanctuary, hallelujah, of holiness, if you will, when the presence of God comes down, hallelujah, and then begins to reveal His glory, reveal His honor, reveal His power, and then pour it into us, that we can go forth and begin to walk in it. Now, if you were to take a notion to walk home today, for some, it wouldn't be very far. For others, it'd be a little bit further. For Brother and Sister Shelton and Sister Ellen, it'd be a 22-mile trick to walk home. For Brother Bonhoeffer, it'd be a 55-mile trek to walk home. Now, I mean, you know, just getting, picturing this in your mind, you know, you just take you know, I'm going to walk home. Well, while you're walking, do you think you would get very tired and weary and wore out? I mean, we live about 4.5 miles out. Be pretty little trek for me. I mean, the Byrons, they just live right, what, three blocks down the road, and it wears them out coming to school. What I'm getting at is when you walk, you exert energy and you get wore out. Well, when you leave this presence of God and you go out into that world, God says, now walk in what I have done for you. Guess what? While you're walking, you're going to get wore out. While you're walking, you're going to get weary. While you're walking, you're going to expend that spiritual strength that you got. And if you don't make it back, hallelujah, where that honor dwelleth, you're going to find yourself just not wanting to walk anymore. You're going to find yourself not wanting to live for God anymore. You're going to find yourself saying, it's just too hard. Whiner, I'm sorry. I have surveyed people's lives for the last 37 years, and I have found out this great profound thing, that every individual on the face of the earth does exactly what they want to do. Profound. Get your want to fixed. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Follow after the highway. Oh, follow after Jesus Christ. Get that want to fixed. New desire. Where are you going to get that? You're going to get it in the house of God. Hallelujah. You're going to get it where His honor dwelleth. You're going to get it in that place He's chose to be a habitation. Hallelujah. And I know that's just a little rebound off what we've already preached, but I trust you understand, to make honorable choices, I'm going to have to be found continually in the presence of the most honored one, Jesus Christ. And for the last 37 years, even as a pastor, for the last 25 years, I have found out it's not the same out there as it is in here. I got to walk out there just like you got to walk out there. And I've got to make honorable choices just like you got to make honorable choices. And whether you realize it or not, it's no easier for me to make an honorable choice than it is for you. It's no easier for anybody to make an honorable choice. We just have to come to the place where we become determined, that's the way I'm going to live my life. That's the way I'm going to do every day. And some days, you'll do great. And some days, you'll do terrible. And it's on the terrible days that helps you realize how much you need where His honor dwells. Hallelujah. It didn't take me very long to realize after I got saved, my safest place, my strongest place, my place of refuge
It's the house of God. What's the house of God? Because that's where the Master would meet His children and empower them and strengthen them. I realized I got baptized in the Holy Ghost the first time at home. But when He filled me at the house of God, all fear and doubt was gone. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I have found that anything that I have gained at my own home, because I trust you read your Bible, and I trust you pray. But I have found what I read at home, and when I pray at home, it all consummates when I get to the house of God. And then it gets written in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost in the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. That's why we have worship. And that's why we have altar calls. That's why we have these places of prayer. Hallelujah. For when the Word of God is shared and truths are shared, the opportunity for it to be written into my heart. Because that's the only place it's going to keep me from sinning against my God. Not here. Almost everybody knows what's right in certain circumstances. And how many times you find yourself not doing what you know is right? You want to know why? Because it hasn't made it in here yet. It hasn't been written in the heart to where out of the heart the mouth speaketh. Out of the heart is the abundance of life. It hasn't been written in your heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. When it becomes written in your heart, you walk it. You live it, and you love it. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. So when you come by and say, that was a good message, Brother Pepper, I'll say, thank you. And then my thought is, did you get it? Or did you just hear it? Did you spend enough time in that honorable place to where it became part of your life? Praise God. Because sooner or later, I'll know. Actions speak louder than words. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, after you've been with people for a long period of time, you kind of know people. You know me. You know what I'm going to do. You know things I'm going to say. Yeah, he said that again. Yeah. Praise God. I always look at it, if it's a good habit, it's a good thing, then you need to say it all the time. Praise God. In His presence. Stand with me. Praise our God. Hallelujah. It's been an honorable place here this morning. And the presence of our King has been made known here this day. And now His Word. This is His Word. These are scriptures. These are God's Word. I've got to get a hold of them. Hallelujah. And I got to let Him write them in my heart. Hallelujah. That I can go forward in that pathway of righteousness. Go forward in His way. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands unto the Lord and let's offer up thanksgiving to our God. Father in heaven, we praise Your holy name and we thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this house this day. And Father, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His precious blood, hallelujah, that has cleansed us and washed us from our past sins. And I thank You, Lord God, for the Holy Ghost that begins to speak to our hearts to deal with any present known sin, O God. And Lord, that we would call on Your name and put it under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would rise up, Lord, and allow You to write Your words in our hearts that we might go forth in that righteous way. O God of heaven, I thank You for what You have done in this house, the lives that You have touched, the wonders that You have performed, oh God, the hearts that You have stirred, the minds that You have renewed, the sins that You've washed away. God, You've done great things in Your house this morning, and God, we give You praise and glory and honor, and we thank You, oh Lord God, that You're mindful of us, and You desire for us to be strong and renewed and refreshed in the power of Your might and rehearsed in Your word. Oh, God of heaven, we worship you. We praise you and we thank you for this great and glorious salvation that you have provided for mankind. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.